Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger passed away this past week at the age of 100. That's a coin toss over what number is greater, his accomplishments or the ways people regard him. Anyway, as any person who sets out to seek achievements and power, there are steps and missteps that happen. Then we always have to wonder, too, how the view of that person will change as time passes on. Joining us to look back at the life and career of Henry Kissinger is attorney, former Time Magazine senior reporter, and professor emeritus of political science at St. Peter's University, Professor Alan Sanders. Thanks for being here today, Professor.
My pleasure, Chris.
stpeters.edu, learn about the educational opportunities of St. Peter's University. So if you were writing one of those Amazon webpage blurbs for a book, because we don't have book flaps that much anymore, people are going so further into ebooks. But if you had to do like one or two sentence about the footprint left by Henry Kissinger, what would you say?
Well, I think one would say that there was both good news and bad news in the way he conducted foreign policy for the United States. And, you know, like many people, that's the fact of life. However, in his case, the good was that he maintained the peace, that is to say, the balance of power between what was then a very strong Soviet Union and an emerging China. But, of course, he overlooked human rights. He was very much a real politic guy that believed that power, the balance of power, and the strategic superiority of the United States, if it could be achieved, was paramount to human rights values. And so he proceeded to pursue policies that many human rights advocates, and you didn't have to be a human rights advocate, just many people thought he was supporting repressive regimes in Latin America and in Asia simply to counter the balance of power with the Soviet Union. So that's why you get a mixed bag of evaluations about his career. He did maintain the balance of power. He did maintain the strategic posture of the United States, but at the expense of lots of people dying and at the expense of supporting many repressive regimes. And then, of course, in the heart of this whole debate was the Vietnam War and the fact that many people believe that Kissinger and Nixon prolonged the war beyond what was necessary, and that resulted also in many deaths, American soldiers' death, and, of course, Vietnamese death.
Turning to China and Russia, because that presents, I think, an interesting case and maybe the aptitude of what Kissinger was capable of doing, because initially with China, they broke down the wall as a backhand to Russia. But then, what was it, maybe 3-4 years later, they were sitting down talking to Russia.
Well, that's right. And that was all about the balance of power. Remember, we were at the height of the Cold War during the Kissinger era, and the idea was to contain the Soviet Union and contain the spread of communism around the world. So Nixon and Kissinger strategized that one of the ways to do this was to try and see if there was an opening with China to try and contain the Soviet Union right at its border and right with its sphere of influence in Asia. And so Kissinger undertook two secret trips to China, and that resulted in an opening of dialogue with China, and ultimately, later, of course, the recognition of China as a legitimate government of China as opposed to the government of Taiwan. And that was all an attempt to counter and to contain Soviet influence, again, under the theory that there was a balance of power that needed to be maintained, and the main threat to that balance of power was the Soviet Union.
When you look at what's happening in Israel today, you see a lot of now in then, if we go back to October 73, when Egypt and Assyria attacked Israel, and Kissinger was doing, they called it the Middle East shuttle for days. For 2 years, I think it was.
Yeah, I mean, that was, again, an attempt to maintain a balance of power there. The Soviet Union had great interest in the Middle East and, of course, was a power that supported many of the Arab states surrounding Israel. And so what Kissinger did was to engage in shuttle diplomacy in the aftermath of the Yom Kippur War to try to maintain a balance there and to try to counteract Soviet influence. And he largely succeeded. He got a couple of ceasefires and agreements, and that maintained stability for a while in that region. And again, that was an attempt to counter the Soviet Union, to increase American influence in the region, and the shuttle diplomacy was to develop trust with not only Israel, but with the Arab states surrounding Israel, and to try to impose something approaching a Pax Americana that would leave out the Soviet Union from the region.
Talking with Professor Alan Sanders, attorney, former Time Magazine senior reporter, professor emeritus of political science at St. Peter's University. Their website, stpeters.edu, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. There are some who question, in spite of his accomplishments and maybe encouraged by his missteps and poor decisions and alliances, that Kissinger's main fault was that, if you look at his early academic work, for example, he focused more on European diplomats and leaders rather than a Jefferson, a Madison, or a Franklin, and the question whether he really understood America.
Well, that's right. And, of course, one of the people that he admired was Metternich, and that European politician and diplomat, of course. And that was all, again, about the balance of power. Now, look, when you're dealing with the international community, the international relations world, you're dealing really between two competing sets of principles. One is power, maintaining power. And the other one is values. What are your values? And the two very often conflict. And so it's a matter of balancing. You need power because the international order is chaotic and anarchic. So you have to have power to maintain national security. But you also have values. What are your values? If you sacrifice all your values to power, then you just become basically something approaching, an evil empire. On the other hand, if you only promote values without power, then you're basically going to be ignored and possibly walked over by other actors in the international sphere. So it's always a matter of maintaining power versus values. And again, that's very difficult. The critics of Kissinger said that he valued power much more than he did over values. And they point to his actions in Vietnam. They point to his actions in Pakistan and Chile and Argentina and Indonesia, where he always backed strongmen and strongmen that he believed were on the American side and against communism and Soviet Russia. But the problem with supporting those strongmen is they didn't value human rights very much, and much activity in those areas resulted in massacres and killings and atrocities for which many people blame Kissinger.
Going back to Russia for a second, did Ronald Reagan accomplish with Russia what Kissinger wanted to do, or did Reagan do what he did because of what Kissinger had set the foundation for?
Well, I think he built on the foundations that Kissinger built. I mean, one of the things about the balance of power that I keep emphasizing, which was at the heart of the philosophy of Kissinger, was that he wanted to contain the Soviet Union, but he also believed that one of the ways to contain the Soviet Union was to pursue something called détente, that is to say, to get rid of the most volatile conflicts with the Soviet Union and to try to see if some accord could be reached on some contentious issues. So, for instance, he negotiated and agreed the first major strategic arms agreement with the Soviet Union, and those were continued under, following administrations and even under Reagan. So he built a framework of containment, but also trying to lower the conflict so that the balance could be maintained and whatever conflict were resulting between the United States and the Soviet Union could be controlled or managed. And that was the heart of his view of power. But again, as I say, he ignored the values side of the question, and that was a problem for him. So I think Reagan basically built on the Kissinger legacy, although he criticizes a lot. But nonetheless, I think if you look at what Reagan tried to do, it was also to contain the Soviet Union, but also to try to manage conflict while at the same time containing the Soviet Union.
A lot of people might not know this. I actually have the campaign button as proof of it, because there used to be a monopoly by one company that made all the political campaign buttons. And for a couple of hours, they pressed these suckers out, and I came across one. But back in the 1980 Republican National Convention. Kissinger was one of the ones behind the scene trying to craft that hope for co-presidency between Reagan and Ford, even. So, as you said, he was addicted to power, and he was looking for pretty much any avenue he can get to keep it. If not that, certainly celebrity. He found it there as well.
Well, that's right. And, of course, if you take a look at the Nixon administration, the last days of the Nixon administration, Kissinger was the last, I believe it's, or if not the last, one of the last, but I think he was the last initial administration official of the Nixon administration that lasted until the very end of the Nixon administration. And, of course, in the last days of the Nixon administration, Nixon turned to Kissinger for support. And, of course, there's a very famous tale about the two kneeling together and praying just as Nixon was going to resign the following day. So he was very much a close confidant of Nixon, but he also was all about balance of power. And let's not forget that he was also probably the most powerful Secretary of State up to that time and probably since, because during the Nixon administration, not only was he the Secretary of State, but also the National Security Advisor in the second Nixon term. And if you know anything about the way international affairs is conducted in any administration, the National Security Advisor and the Secretary of State are two different positions. Sometimes they conflict with each other, but the idea is to provide the president with a variety of points of view. But for Kissinger, at least for part of his time in the Nixon administration, he was both the National Security Advisor and the Secretary of State.
He's Professor Emeritus of Political Science at St. Peter's University, attorney, former Time Magazine senior reporter. Professor Alan Sanders, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure, Chris. Take care.